We're still not sure where the location is. I've been working with the state member since about September last year, and he's getting quite enthusiastic about it. We've got to get on and start growing little bopple here, because it's a bloody beautiful place, and I wish you all the best. Thank you. That's exactly right. Most RVers with the clubs and everything like that around Australia will not try and put an RV base into an area where there's no shop. If there's no pub or no shop, they just simply won't go there. They'll go to the next town. The next free RV site is only just down the road, and that's where they go. So for you guys to open up an industry here, I don't know if the museum could try and put something on the back of their museum until a shop can function here. I'm not sure. I still think the council has to play a much bigger role here and go from there. Because once you get that tourism, you're going to get activity, you're going to get everybody starting to feel better about the whole place.
They've landed all these crews over there, 90% of them are dead. I go over to the all the time, the other one that knows the law and tries to get it off there. Council's been out here probably twice in the last 5 months and made a lot.
That's right. I think the representation is really poor. But anyway, there's your community spirit. It's all here. It just needs a little fire put under its belly, and away you go. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Barry. Thank you, Gordon. Anne, would you like to come up?
Good afternoon. My name's Anne Madden. I was under the impression that we had 3 minutes and also that questions. Can't hear me? Better? Okay, my name's Anne Madden, and I was told that we had 3 minutes, so I've written a speech because I've got a lot to say. Very often when we're asked to do something, in the back of our mind is, what is the benefit to me? Today, I'm asking you to vote for me as your councillor. What is the benefit to you? In the near 3 years I was a member of State Parliament, I was constantly approached by constituents frustrated with the actions of council. And from those approaches, the major issues I have identified and which need addressing are 1, inequity and unfairness in the rating system. 2, properties side by side with a very small difference in size, yet a rates bill which differs by around $100. And that's only one example. Okay. The constantly increasing rates bills. Council must learn to live within its means, just as we do in our household budgets. That means we don't have fancy $50 million sports precincts. Council can't continually gouge rates from ratepayers without considering their capacity to pay. We can end up rating them out of their homes. Openness and accountability. Over the last few weeks, if you've been watching the media, it has become obvious that councillors are not being given all the information they need to make decisions. And the way the council is currently run, constituents very often don't know how councillors vote and the reasons for their vote. And that must change. Openness and accountability will bring respect, something which is sadly lacking at this time. Respect for the opinion of ratepayers, be it expressed in the form of a petition, as in the de-amalgamation, in other forums, as with the sports precinct, and locally, the survey carried out by Mike Grounds. Council must respect those opinions, address the issues raised, and come to a resolution which is favoured by the majority. Council must again connect with its various communities, particularly the outlying areas, and to that end, I propose that a fully trained council liaison officer be reinstated to work from Tyro as it was under the as it was agreed at the time of amalgamation, and that our other areas be visited on a regular basis to provide a local service to ratepayers. How can I contribute to dealing with these matters if elected? I'm fortunate that I have a set of skills from my previous two jobs. One is a property valuer and one is a state member. My training covers areas such as accounting, town planning, economics, land law, and my work in the Parliament covered areas and processes, oversight of committees, contacts with state and federal governments, and also in the area of grants applications. Finally, your survey, or Mike's survey, indicates that the majority of people in this community are seeking to have a shop. This will only happen if there is an economic base to support that shop. And the economic base in this area is agriculture and tourism. We must open up the RV tourism. More sites, more signs, more advertising, both here and in Maryborough. At this point, this is the only chance that I can see that will provide the economic base needed. I make my commitment to you that I will work on all of these issues on your behalf. You're not taking questions now. You're not taking questions now. I'll do the questions afterwards. Yep, I'll take any questions afterwards.
Craig, did you want to speak about something? I'm sorry, what you are a candidate for Division 2 or Mayor? Mayor, right, please get up, yes.
Yeah, I'm Greg Schmidt from Tanana. My background, I'm a farmer till I was 30. Then I went into Holden Spare Parts. Then a photographer for the Little Herald newspaper in Maryborough for 4 years. And for the last 12 years, I've been in civil construction, road building, and fairly major at that. My view to council, the reason I stood up for it, I've been asked since 2000, because I've had to go since back then, is to bring the rates down, because they've, through the eyes of a construction worker, if we traded the same way that council trade, we would have been broke years ago. I would like to bring construction, just in rate savings is where I'm coming from. I'm not for my main focus, just for today, is to save money. It's not to waste money or offer. I can save roadworks just in itself and garbage by pulling all of the contracts that it dished out to clients back under council's care. So they actually use subcontractors, call in if you need them, rather than paying overheads in the council and overheads with contractors. And then if the council run those contracts, they then supply all the materials, which doesn't incur another 10-20% profit on top of the purchase price. Just a rough guess, there's 2.3% straight off the rates in that area alone. But council need to take that back. The other side, but I'm not going to talk about, I talked with Yolandi a couple of days ago about the service station. I took her points on board, and I took a couple of the locals' points on board down in Tyro, and there seemed to be somewhat a them and us involved in that. There really needs to be a sit down. You can't say today, right here now, that I'm going to offer this or I'm going to offer that. But that shop does have to open. It is important that shop opens, because the school has to have more kids in it. The town has to have more people in it. The empty houses have to have people in them. And then you need another school teacher back here. What I'm asking, when you choose to vote, if you don't choose me, you choose someone that can offer you what suits you. Your divisional councillor for each division, choose a councillor that isn't involved in a team. Because when you vote in a team, you are going to vote in exactly the same thing that's happening right now. It'll be unanimous. There'll be no argument. There are some really good candidates out there, and I recommend that you look at your divisional candidates. I stand for rates down, and with rates down, the council can spend some more rather than just cutting costs. You can put more money from those savings onto smaller projects like you have out here. I'll close at that, but no, I won't. Most importantly, if you could just choose a councillor divisional candidate that is not in a team, you will get your best value. I'll take questions.
Is there any questions?
Can you, microphone. Okay, the Fraser Coast begins just out here at Glenwood. You go out Biggenden Road, it finishes just this side of the train line. You go out to the Bruce Highway, past Torbenlea, out to a place past Pig Creek. The boundary is out there. How many other directions do you want to go?
I just want to know that you all know where we are.
I know exactly where you are. I know exactly where you are. I'll expand on that, where I'm at. I've, in my roadworks, from the closest job here in the region is the companies that I've worked for is from the Glenorchy Strait right into the Country Stopover Caravan Park. That was 12 years ago when that was upgraded, where the overtaking lanes were put in between 6 mile and 5 mile road on your way into town. I'd done both stages of Torbenlea roundabout on the Hovey Bay Road. I designed the traffic management for that. So I drew the plans and I implemented all of the traffic design for that, and we saved millions. We wrote traffic controllers out of the equation where possible. So if you did a shoulder closure, you just didn't hire three traffic controllers to come and do a job. Three traffic controllers will cost you $1,500 for three controllers and one ute. That's close to proportion of some of your folks' rates here. So 1 year's rates will pay for a ute with three fellas, instead of putting hats along the side of the road. And I could go on and on and on, but that's the direction where I wish to save money. Thank you.
Thank you, Glenn. I think next now is Chris, please.
Thank you all for coming out on this rainy day. I just, John Myers is a personal friend of mine, and I asked John to do a description of me. I could tell you about me, and like any politician, you mightn't believe it. It's probably better coming from a third party. And you'd all know that John Myers started the Dial and Myers timber mill out in Tyro. He got up to employing 350 people and won a business award in Queensland. So he's and he now owns the Military Museum in Maryborough. So who is Chris Loft? Chris has over 30 years as a small business consultant and accountant under his belt, and has now served a 4-year apprenticeship as a councillor with the Fraser Coast Regional Council, studying, learning and witnessing a very badly run business that turns millions of dollars in potential investment away from our region every year. He's adamant the biggest priority is to get the business of council in order before the region can forge ahead. And his common sense approach and back to basics message will get operations humming and ensure the Fraser Coast is on every new industry list to bring new jobs and prosperity. The Fraser Coast is made up of three very different economies. However, with better leadership, Hervey Bay, Maryborough, and the surrounding farming country can complement each other and work as a strong united force. It's time to join our region instead of pitting areas against each other. Chris Loft is the only mayoral candidate who has the knowledge, ability, and previous council experience to implement the necessary changes. It's time for a new leader and common sense to come to the fore. And I'd like to think that John is a wise man. So just in the areas that have absolutely disappointed me enormously, having served the 4 years, is the wastage of money and the lack of consultation with councillors. It has been run by basically the mayor and an inner circle of trust, and very rarely do we, who are successful business people, let me brag, get any input. And I mix in with that Councillor Rolf Light and also Councillor James Hansen, myself and George Seymour. And although we might be on different ends of a political scale with George, I find him absolutely passionate, knowledgeable and a very balanced person. That's the sort of debate that we need to have in the council chamber. Now, my plan is that each councillor will be like the mayor of their division, and then they bring the decision of the community to the table where all 10 councillors and the mayor listen. And from that, hands go up or hands go down, and then we move on from there. So that's the way it can be run. It's a lot more consultation. There'll be a lot more time with the councillors listening to staff, but also listening to their local councillor. Now, the structure of council will be understanding committees. So in other words, the various sections of council will be divided up, a couple of councillors in each of the divisions, and then according to the portfolio or the passion or the interest or the knowledge that each councillor has, that'll be added into it. So it'll be a well-structured, plenty of input from the councillors, and we will not be wasting money. Foolish spending. And I tell you, as I've raised my hand to be the mayor, I've found there's a heap of what I call golden gurus here, which are people my age and above who have a wealth of experience in so many areas, like engineers, agriculture, environment and level-headed environment people, on assisting the low socioeconomics. There is a million people out, sorry, that's an exaggeration. There is a lot of people that we have that we can tap from those, and I call that the golden gurus. That's what we need to do, rather than them sitting watching the tide come in and out, particularly in Hervey Bay. The wastage of money, I could go on and on and on, but the big waste of money, and I'm yet to have one person to come to me to say it's a good idea, is the $10 million investment in a $50 million sports precinct, which is located in Hervey Bay. Now, I can tell you from the records that I've studied the finances. I'm an accountant and have been for 30 years. The lack of support of the small organisations, the small existing sporting organisations in the future budget is zero for the next 10 years. So there was allocated, the year before was $150,000 every year to fix up the smallish things around for all the sporting facilities that we have. That was completely wiped to zero, and there was $10 million planted in for the next 2 years. So that's just one example. There's another one that the mayor has not been honest about is a new council chamber, we call it the Taj Mahal, which is going to be established in Hervey Bay, and that's about another $10 or $12 million. He won't put a cost on it. The millions of dollars that is being burdened on you, the ratepayer, for the dreams and visions of the mayor and the CEO and an inner circle of trust is horrific. Generally, when you're going to do a big project, you'll only do it if there's state and federal funds. That's how you do it. So if we were getting, say it was the $10 million project, you'd be looking for $3 million from the state, $3 million from the feds, and then it's $4 million from the locals. We have a terrible reputation now. We did have with the LNP, and Anne would be able to vouch for that. And now we've got it with the ALP, where they're not in favour of the sports precinct. I could go on and on and on. So, and just quickly, I'm all about decentralisation. I'm wanting staff coming back out to the regions. So if you read in my little newsletter, it's about decentralising. I believe staff are the most important asset any business has, and unfortunately, great staff have been driven away from the Fraser Coast Council. I have a vision for agriculture, and I know how to balance the books. So, and it's all about good governance. So I will unfurling some more projects as the time rolls on, as we get closer to the election day. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Chris. Janine, please.
I probably don't even need the microphone. I'm a big talker. Okay, the first thing I want to address is community consultation. This has been very lacking with this council, and we've all got the big back of the hand, and 11 people have been making decisions for over 100,000 people. Personally, I don't think that's right, and I'm sick to death of it. Even to the point where I've tried to submit an opposing letter to the sports precinct with nearly 400 signatures and a further petition with in excess of 3,000 signatures, and the current council decided that it was their right to take a vote to see whether they would even accept those in the first place, to even possibly consider. So a democratic right just goes straight out the door. So we don't have a say. So I think that is absolutely absurd. So, following on for that, when we come to the council meetings, I would like to video streamline them so everybody that has internet access can watch them from the comfort of their home, they can watch it in their place of business if they're allowed to, if their boss permits it, or it can be uploaded to the website and people can view it at their leisure at another time. This will allow the community to observe body language, listen to tone, see how council actually interacts with each other and whether they're being proactive instead of having a negative impact for our communities down the track. So then you can become involved, we can get our youth involved, and we can engage them because they're going to be our future leaders. So it is that I would like to see us utilising all this modern technology to the best of our ability, because it's what we leave for future generations to come that is so important. All right, I have a plan too for sustainability and affordable living. I think the current council's approach, if that was the right way, we wouldn't still have the highest unemployment statistics, high rates, and high crime that we currently do have. If that was on my watch, I would be so ashamed, and that they can just keep putting it in the Guinness Book of Records, because we're not going anywhere fast. So clearly that approach is wrong. So we need new leadership with a new approach, with real vision, with actual determination to create long-term jobs by bringing industry here and embracing agritourism and all the rest. So the more that we talk to each other and the more that you get your voices heard, the more action we'll get. So it comes down to all of you to really approach every candidate and ask the tough questions. Even the current incumbents, ask them, why are they having briefings on the Monday and making decisions and voting, but then it's not recorded in the minutes on the Wednesday? How they came to that decision? You know, ask them about the Tuggum Rockwall fiasco. You know, these councillors are voting on everything to do with everything across the entire Fraser Coast. 86 towns and regional localities, and only we're hearing about Hervey Bay. Occasionally we might hear about Maryborough. They're wasting money on upgrading parks that have nothing wrong with them. It's absolutely ridiculous. I am sick of this wasteful spending and this arrogance and these bullying tactics from this current council. So it's time for change and it's time to tell them to move on. Okay, I've got lots to say. I can talk about absolutely any issue, and I'm across a lot of them because I've attended nearly every council meeting.
I've just allowed you another 2 minutes.
Oh, thank you. All right, the FCO, Fraser Coast Opportunities. I really don't see the purpose in that. We spend $2.6 million of ratepayers' money on wages. $2.6 million. Then council gives them another budget for $500,000. Then I'm hearing they're getting more money. And then there's more subsidies going to them. Yet they're not making a profit. They're not targeting the right marketing strategy as far as I'm concerned. And look, my mind boggles with that. It's just making me angry thinking about it. So we really need to have a conversation about whether FCO is viable, because in my personal opinion, I don't think it is. I also want to address the senior executive team and their management and the positions and the salaries. I think we're too top heavy and not enough little Indians doing, making council very efficient as it should be. Like, it takes them sometimes 28 days to answer an email, and I'm still waiting 4 months for a couple of responses. So, and then it'll just be gobbledygook anyway. It won't be anything of any substance. So I've just wasted my time trying to find out the right information because they won't disclose it either. So that's very frustrating when we're supposed to have a transparent and accountable council. Now, I want to open it up. I want to review everything. I want to put it on the table and say, this is what we've got. This is where we, what we've got to work with. Every single community should, it should be fair and equitable for everybody. So I want to see that happen so that Puna gets its fair share, Maroon, Antigua, you know, everybody. We all have value and we all matter, and it's about time we got a council that realised that and acted on that. So, on to something. I'm not even going to talk about the sports precinct because it's not even worth the conversation. As far as I'm concerned, it can just get scrapped. Good investment for the land, so I will talk about it, sorry. 2 blocks of land were purchased, 797,000 or something like that, was it, Chris? Then for one, the smaller block, then there's the bigger block, 1.8 million. So then we've got a budget, and every time I hear the budget, it's 50, 52, 54. We're currently at 56. Now we've got a separate budget for planning and design, which was a secret squirrel one, along with the $28,000 document, plus business cards, $1,500, and glossy brochures. Maryborough has 50-year surplus sporting facilities. So in Hervey Bay, I would like to see revisit the plan that were, that I was actually involved in 2000, and where we cut off Tavistock Street and have a mall where the kids safely cross from one side, from one oval to the other. But, and then we've got all these school grounds. Why aren't we utilising them? They all the ratepayers are paying school fees. You know, they're all investing in these sporting facilities. So we should be looking at things like this and working together and coming together as a community. Rather than, and then maybe down the track, yeah, we do need to look at further sporting facilities for Hervey Bay. But let's think about dual purpose. Let's have it an entertainment centre so everybody can enjoy it. But then we've got all the other communities. Bopple could probably do with something here. You know, Tanana might want something for sport. You know, we need to encourage all children from all locations to get involved before our obesity levels rise. A pool. You want a pool, Sandy? At Gundaya. So, all right. But anyway, if you want to talk to me about anything, please don't hesitate. I'm quite approachable, and I'll tell you how I see it. You might not agree, and I might not agree with you, but I'm very happy to have the conversation so that everybody's heard. So I'll just leave it at that, and thank you for coming out today. Oh, and Bopple is an amazing place. I've met some beautiful people here. I've spent a bit of time here, in particular over the last 6 months. And if you want to come to me with what you want for Bopple, I will do it my very best to make sure that that happens. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I think that just about closes all business for today. We are going to stop and have some refreshments, and if you want to talk to the candidates and mingle around, ask questions, go for it. So, I'd like to thank you all for coming this afternoon, and the candidates especially. I'd like to give my good thanks to Mike Browns for the work he's put in. At the cost. You're always sinking to your stomach, aren't you?
John.
Yeah, but I'd like to, as I was saying, I'd like to thank Mike Grounds for the work he's put in this survey. At the time, the effort, and the cost, he's done it all himself. I think it was a great thing to do. I'd like to thank Peter for his hungry stomach and the audio he's done. for us. And all the people that have done the great job of supporting the BPA, I really appreciate it. So I think I will close now. Meeting closed. Yes? Anybody want to say anything?
John, the most divisive issue in the world, and most